Yes, we're here with the League One Manager of the Month for
Rhys McCabe and also Simon.
What month? For what?
August. The youngest manager in the world.
No, the youngest manager ever.
Ever. It's unbelievable, that, isn't it?
Well, I heard the stat when it first got kind of announced, and I was like, surely can't be right, but I didn't really look too much eh, kind of things like that, and just kind of go to goal, mate.
We need to give him a clap, too.
It's unbelievable.
So you're a manager, first month in the job, manager of the month. Must be buzzing, mate, now.
Aye, obviously good to kind of get the recognition, but again, a lot of it kind of falls on the players and other people around about you, so it's kind of been plain sailing, so to speak, for me, coming in and doing the training and stuff, and just enjoying being on the pitch, to be perfectly honest.
Is it hard, though, that these were your pals, though, as a teammate, and then now you're managing them?
Aye and no. I mean, it's one of these ones that even when I was just kind of solo a player, I was 29, so I was probably the oldest or whatever in the team, so I think you had that respect anyway. So for me, it was just about kind of try install the ideas early and basically just try to get the boys to stick with it and persevere, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's had a fresh trim for
he's
us as well.
Absolutely gorgeous.
He's looking well, isn't he?
I just don't look at his eyes. How big are they?
He's got nice eyes, isn't he? By the way, this stadium geezer Safir, didn't it? He got sent off here.
My last game here, I was a sub, and then I came on. 5 minutes I lasted, took a horrific touch. I've told the story a million times and get sent off here. And your last game, as you scored an own goal,
I remember it.
Did you sit watching it? You never played that yet, did
no,
you? Because you said the playoffs, didn't you? Centre half, that's right.
I actually played well.
Thanks, mate.
You did?
Didn't know what to sign us now.
Wasn't my call, I mean. Wasn't my call.
Terrible. I thought it was his mate.
By the way, see, you just said that you play as well. I said to you at the start of the season, and managers, when we've interviewed other managers, all said to you, Si, is don't do that.
Don't do that, huh?
Do you think that's actually all right? You can do that, play and manage?
Well, you've got to. For a start, I mean, I'm still a player. But listen, I think if I was a wee bit older and legs had maybe went, I'd be probably sitting thinking, make your mind up, is it one or the other? But I still feel I've got plenty to give.
But do you think you can see the game, though? Because that's what I was saying to you, if you're playing, I don't think you can see the game as you would, obviously, if you're at the side.
I agree with that. And it's only when you kind of look back, so I don't know, and whatever you do, your analysis, and you're sitting Saturday night and you're 2-3 in the morning, you're looking back at the game going, I never noticed that in the game. We never played as bad as what I thought at half-time, or vice versa. You thought you might have played really well, and you're going, it was totally opposite of what you think. So I can kind of understand that, but it's one of the ones that is, I always say, if you're trying to drive standards on the park, side of the park, it's irrelevant, really.
Because his assistant manager, Callum Fordyce, who's your cousin, he also plays as well.
Yeah.
So have you got somebody on the side?
So we've got, obviously, Brian Punty's there.
Punty's good
just
guy.
Now, great guy.
Yeah.
In terms of just, we're talking about it there, just having somebody kind of around the place who's vibrant and can he always picks his spirits up. He's key to that. And then obviously you've got David Hutton, who's in, I don't know if you know Hutts.
Hutt's a mad man, isn't he?
He's mad as they come, but the boy's got on with him and he's one of the ones that he'll never change for anybody, so it's kind of a good balance, because I like to think that me and Dicey are a wee bit more kind of relaxed, and then you've got the likes of Hutts and Prince, who are different characters.
So do you leave it and make subs, Reece, or is it just like a stop and play, you'll hear a quick chat, or just plan it beforehand?
Listen, as best we can, so we maybe know that prior to the kind of game at the weekend, we're going to set up this, should anything go wrong, this is kind of what we're going to go with, or we're thinking about maybe playing him and he's maybe not played, and listen, he's going to come on and have an impact, and just kind of see it how the game's going. You know yourself, sometimes you're under the cosh, you're thinking, right, we need an extra body in midfield, or we need certain things in the game, and you just kind of see it and kind of try and act on it.
So would you nod to your coach at the side and tell them to do it, or would they just do it?
We obviously make the decision, but we try and kind of wait till obviously a throw in or a free kick, or listen, sometimes it's no one, sometimes it's 100 mile an hour, so it's just about kind of players as well. I like to give the lads a wee bit of responsibility that kind of get through the bad moments. So if it's a case of we're playing a 4-3-3 and listen, we're under the cosh, they're kind of popping us in midfield, listen, why don't you just drop back into midfield and recognise that yourself? I think you've got to give kind of players a wee bit of onus yourself.
Brilliant. Have you subbed yourself yet?
I don't know if I've subbed myself. It was hard because, like I say, I had the Clyde game, so we lost Edinburgh City.
What happened in that? Yeah, I couldn't believe that result.
Just one of the games. I think if we played it another 100 times, that result would never happen. But to be fair to them, they were they were well kind of drilled and they had a game plan that were going to sit in. We were comfortable first 15 minutes or whatever it was, dominated the ball as I like to do, and then we got a man sent off. And I think, to be fair, kind of it rattled us a wee bit for 10, 15 minutes. We were a wee bit all over the place, and then they scored in the 45th minute right on half time. So it was one of the ones of coming at 2-0 down, it's mountain to climb and go at the second half, and we have a good chance to go up the part and score and maybe get back into the game. And then obviously they kill the game off 3-0, and I think the boys kind of, no, threw the towel in, but just
went after that wee bit, huh? We get a man sent off every week, don't we?
You caused a goal and subbed yourself off, didn't you?
What was that game again?
That was before this, but the one, 29-year-old mate, is when they came to you and asked you to be the manager. Mate, that is incredible. How did that all come about, mate?
From my point of view, how it kind of came about is when I'd signed here, obviously I was 28 at the time, 29, so I'd kind of made it clear to the club that, listen, I'd like to kind of be settled here. I've got a wee girl and stuff. I didn't want to be going here, there and everywhere and having to travel and stuff. So I said I'd like to try and commit to somewhere with a kind of future, longer term plan, that go down the coaching route, and if there was a possibility to maybe come on board and kind of help out, then I'd be definitely interested. And then obviously kind of things just went up in the air when obviously Ian Murray left and went to Wraith. So just before the summer, obviously the club had spoke to us and said, well, listen, yourself and Dicey are almost the older senior pros in the pitch anyway. Like, how would you feel about kind of taking a kind of player coach managing role? And I was like, wee bit kind of taken back. I says, I don't know yet. I'm, like you say, I'm 29. I'm still think I've got a wee bit to give yet. And then kind of I went and kind of slept on it and went away, and I was like, do you know what, it's how often are you going to get this opportunity? I know kind of sometimes you can take things too early and stuff, but I was like, you know, I've got plenty of time, that should it go right, should it go wrong, I'd like to think that kind of 29, 30 year old, you'll have plenty of time to learn from your experiences, you know what I mean?
So how long ago did you start to think about coaching and maybe management?
In terms of actually thinking about going full into it, probably no, to be perfectly honest. It was always just a thing as a young player, kind of as you get older, just kind of coaching through the game. And I like to think that even when I was playing at kind of 28 anyway, that I was always kind of speaking to people and trying to help as much as I could, because I always remember kind of past experiences when I was a young kid at Rangers or went down the road, and it was one of these ones, who did I kind of learn from, like, say, Stephen Davis, and these kind of boys were always good with young boys. So I always thought that you get these kind of big time kind of first team players who can scar you, you know what I mean, as a young kid. And I always felt like I was never going to be one of these kind of guys, and try and help the young boys as much as I can. And I thought, if I can kind of help the boys on the pitch, then great.
Did you speak to anyone when you got offered the job for advice? Anybody in the game?
No, in terms of like players and stuff. Obviously, my auntie Shelley, obviously Shelley Kerr. I'd spoke to her, and again, she was like one of them. It's an opportunity, but obviously, kind of be prepared. There's a lot of things that obviously you'll be new to, and it'll take a wee bit of time to adjust, but in terms of your knowledge and stuff, you know how to play the game and kind of you know football, so go, and you've got good people around about you, like myself and the club, to be fair, I've been really supportive, so you've got good people around about you, so just kind of go and take everything in.
Can I just say, did you take it down to the fact of how good a team you had? Because I thought you were excellent last year. I've said that on the podcast before. I thought you were the best footballing team in League One last year. Did that play a part in your decision?
Aye, and that's kind of goes back to the kind of point I said, that when you come in, it's not like I'm having to bring in 12 new players. I think it would have been a kind of totally different job. We had, apart from Dylan Easton going to Wraith, we had pretty much the same squad. So I always said that when we come in here, and we spoke about it kind of last season when we missed out to Queen's Park, I said that the kind of squad depth from 11 to 16, 17 was just lacking that wee bit, and I felt that if we could kind of strengthen in that area, get a couple of good young boys on loan who are hungry and want to do well, and obviously a kind of young management team that can go and try and help them improve, going to bigger and better things in Airdrie, that we wouldn't be far away. We don't obviously know that there's Dunfermline and teams in this league that are strong, so we've kept a good kind of core of the team and added in a good couple of young quality players, and we've started okay.
But by the way, used to played at Portsmouth together.
Probably the worst year in Portsmouth history, there you go. Wasn't it? Right. What a year for us. So I was never in the house.
I signed on the Thursday. Richie Barker signed us and he got sacked on the Saturday. So if yours was bad, I don't know what mine was. Probably.
How many times have you out?
Oh, every Saturday. It was like a, that's what I'm saying, it was like a holiday thing down there. Obviously nice weather and stuff. And I think you've mentioned before in your podcast stuff, it was just people are so like friendly down there, regardless of the defeat. Whereas up here, it's you get beat, you didn't show your face for 2 or 3 days. Whereas down there, it was a case of, it's all right, lads. Like, you come and bite to eat a few beers or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. It's strange,
I remember sitting in the fans' house after getting beat for Dagenham, drinking away. We've just been fucked for Dagenham.
What a game it was.
It was great, but Fratton Park was brilliant, wasn't it?
Oh, I loved it. Aye, it's in terms of trying to replicate something like Ibrox or Celtic Park, having played up here, that's as good as you'll get probably down there in terms of a proper like environment for a game of football. And it was like 2 at the time as well, so to get, I think it was 20,000 they were averaging and stuff. Yeah. It was mad.
Jed Wallace, do you know Jed? He just signed for West Brom. He did really well.
No, he did really well.
Adam Webster went to Brighton. There was a lot of good young kids there. Who was the players were hopeless, but the younger kids were really
good. Who was the characters in that team?
Ricky Holmes was a good boy, wasn't he?
Ricky, aye. Jed had a wee bit of a tough baking character as well.
He ended up going up the chief exec's daughter.
Oh,
so he used to get, the chief exec looked like Dale Winton, didn't he? Remember wee Mark Cantlin? I used to phone him. I used to phone him like 4 in the morning. Mate. What you thinking, man? The chief exec. I'd phone him like 4 in the morning when I was up.
He's a good team. Where did you finish that season?
Just stayed up, mate. Literally just. I think it came down to something like goal difference or something got beat or whatever it was. It was something like that, eh? But I just remember being down there and I think I'd signed a 6-week loan or whatever coming to the end of my contract. Knew I wasn't going to sign down there, so I was like, right, it's a chance to kind of put yourself in the shop window on that again. And I went down, signed the Thursday, played the Saturday. Richie Barker got sacked Saturday night, and I remember just sitting there going, what is going on here?
Did you stay at the end of the season?
So I stayed for like, I think, 2 more games, and then obviously, is it the guy Offord, is it?
Andy Offord came in,
so he kind of took temporary charge, and as you would as a manager, he went with kind of guys that he knew, and I'm there on loan, so I didn't play for the next game or two, and I remember we went away, I think it was Dagenham Redbridge.
I had 2 assists, 10 minutes.
And after that I was just like, listen, it's just one of the things that he's going to go away, experienced players that he thinks can grind him at results, which is fair enough, and on the phone to my agent type thing, right, let's get us back. We were fortunate at the time that obviously Chef Wed had a few injuries, so I went back and played I think the last 2 games or whatever it was.
He started at Rangers though. So came through, who did you get, you're from Livingston, aren't you?
Aye.
That sort of area. So who, boys club?
So I was at Muriston. We kind of local boys club were there, and typical 7-a-side, went into 11-a-side, and naturally your team was really good at the time. We had Nicky Clark, Danny Wilson, Darren Cole, Jacob Triplets, Darren Jameson at Kelty. So that they were kind of all in our boys club team, so we were kind of winning all the time. So we went through to kind of the Edinburgh League and played against your Hutchie Vales and whatever, and we're winning there, and obviously a bit of recognition, you were beating kind of everyone, and Rangers scout and a few scouts came and took I think 9 or 10 years.
Had to be the same team.
You just won everything with that Rangers team, didn't you? Because that was the
season. Was that against yous?
It was, wasn't it?
So the kind of age, you're a year older than me,
I was like Flecky's age.
So Flecky is 6 months older than me, but he's my age group, but he always played a year or two above himself.
10 years above himself, didn't
he? He was unbelievable, mate.
He was
monster, wasn't he?
A joke at a young kid.
You just won everything.
So we, like I say, there were 9 or 10 of us went through, so all the way kind of through from 10s or 9s, whatever it was, right the way kind of through 19s at the time, when you go to your Youth Cup finals and stuff, Glasgow Cup finals, it was pretty much the same group, and then started to go kind of separate ways, but a lot of them are still in football, which is good.
Any coaches that you really liked that helped your development, took things for?
Do you remember
Drew Todd? He gets mentioned a lot in here, mate. He loved a Revelino Drew Todd.
Unbelievable. See, he used to sit and do shape with under 12s, and it was unopposed mannequins, and it was all about wingers chopping and
decoy runs.
Like probably ahead of his time, but at the time you're a young kid, you're, oh, this is kind of boring, and now you get a wee bit old and you realise, like, in terms of developing kind of technical young players, he was brilliant, eh? I loved him.
Yeah. A few people said him now. Did you ever go to Hong Kong?
I did.
What a player.
Amazing. What a player. The Hong Kong Sevens. So we were good.
Fuck
some of the names,
right? It was unbelievable.
Fella beat you in the final.
Fella, that's right,
was that no Barry Bannon? It was, no, that was
no, so he was, the year we went, I think, was Andy Vyman.
Rob Vyman, James Collins,
and
that.
And right. Then to be fair, Chelsea and that were there. So there was loads of kind of big clubs, and we went there. And to be fair, Rangers and Celtic were always good.
Yeah.
We always went, and kind of the boys who weren't playing at the first team, Rezzy and a couple of younger boys and that, but we went and always kind of always done well, got to semis or finals, and I think we played Celtic one of the years in semis.
So did you ever play against each other, do you remember? Yeah.
I remember him at Celtic, but I remember him obviously at Motherwell at the time, because I don't know what it's like now, but it used to be like you played 2 years at each level, so it'd be 2 years at 19s, then it'd be like 2 years at 17s or whatever it was, so it was like I'd be first year 17s, he'd maybe be second year. So we'd kind of be the young boys on the bench, and they would play Flecky's age and stuff, and I say he was good.
Very good.
I'm kidding you on.
Uh-huh. Better than Flecky?
I don't know about that but he was...
Was Flecky the one at Rangers that you thought he was the best?
Out of this world, Flecky.
What was he, what did he have that other players
just
never...
Even people now like talk about young kids and like coming through, he's going to be the next best thing, and like, oh, how does he compare to someone like that? I says, when we were younger, it was Flecky, and even just the way that he went about himself. I mean, I remember at like 15 or 14 or whatever it was, he was going to train with the first team, and he was the best player.
Was
like,
he?
A joke. Like, not even just a young, shy kid that was decent technically or whatever, he was going and popping it and bossing it in with established internationals, you know what I mean?
He had that attitude though, but he didn't care. Yeah. But in the right way. Do you know what? The player that I would always say was like Wayne Rooney. The way he played, he was so aggressive, he could run with the boy, I mean, his shot was unbelievable.
He had a bit of everything, even though normally for kids to go up there, you know yourself, you go up to first team and you're a bag of nerves, you didn't want to go up. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it was like he went up there and just, he was physically developed, and he could tackle, he could shoot, he could run, he had everything. Normally you're either really good at one thing and you lack another. Yeah. He had everything, eh? Like everything.
On that, when did you first get the call to go into the first team? We speak about this a lot.
I can't remember the exact date, but it used to be, so the old Murray Park used to have the spin bikes. So you'd be in, and obviously you kind of get your wee bit used to going to resis and whatever. So you'd be up there, and it'd be the boys who would be injured, and it was one of the ones, look at the whiteboard, and Kenny McDowell Code used to write up on the board, right, training. You'd have a wee star next to your name if you were in the resi group, right, you're up with the first team. And I remember going up, and yeah, I think it was just like a Thursday, so it was like a technical drill, crossing the finish, and you were going, oh, just didn't muck up, just go up and like be all right. And I remember even going home, like phoning my old man, being like, train with the first team today, and like, how are you? I said, oh, bag of nerves, like, shit myself. And he was like, what, did you do well, and did anybody speak to you? And that? I said, no.
Did they say the word?
But like, it was good that way. Like, they were good, in terms of young kids, they recognised when McCoy's and that, they were brilliant. He was obviously running about the assistant kind of role for ages, so he was always mingling and carrying on and stuff. But when certain boys started to get maybe a wee bit kind of ahead of their sail, he would just put them right back, didn't he?
What, well, like a one-liner or?
I just, not even something that was kind of degrading or anything, but just a wee bit of make you feel like that size again, eh?
Crossing and finishing, that's right up your street, mate. That zing it wide, you've got that unlocked down to.
I didn't mind, but you were like, oh, you go in front of me, you go in front of me. And to be fair,
you're trying to get to the back of the queue.
You go in front, like, oh, sorry, I think he's wanting you and one of these ones, eh? But that's.
And did you do all right your first session?
I done all right. Again, it's probably just the other side of the game that you learn, and then obviously you grow in that, and you maybe get another couple of chances to go up, and you're just thinking, oh, I'm probably as good as him, or he's doing cross and finish, and I can do that, like put it in the box. And you just gradually over time learn and become probably a wee bit more comfortable. And like I say, it all depends on who you have. We had Stephen Davis and that, who I'd done his boots, so he was always good with me in terms of, he would ask how your weekend was, how'd you get on at your 19s game or your resi game that was a Monday night or whatever, how'd you get on, did you play, where did you play and stuff. So he was really good with me.
Few quid?
Christmas.
Did he?
Aye.
Much?
He used to give us, so he had obviously a deal with Puma, so he used to give us all his old Puma boots.
But fucking boots, how much did he give you money?
He'd give you a couple of quid.
What a guy.
Was there any players, the first team players that get right on you?
Not so much me. It's one of the ones that you know how to avoid certain people, eh? It's like, oh, scared to look at him in case he just grills me, and you try and avoid him going the different way or whatever. But a lot of them were okay, and you tend to find that when we were up kind of in Jimmy's kit room and stuff, I was just like a sponge, eh? I used to go like, Jimmy, need a hand with anything, I'll help you pack the hampers, just because I wanted to be around and watch them play darts and do whatever. And I think kind of they noticed that, and no, they were always all right with me.
So was Walter Smith there at the time?
He was there, obviously. I'd be just a young boy, so I'd be 17, so I'd be at kind of the opposite end of the building. But even just going about, and like, he'd be walking there and you have to get strips signed or go up and get these balls signed for charity or whatever it was, and you'd be up there and you would, everybody's apart from his, you would be petrified to go ask. Aye.
So did he ever get a one-on-one chat with you?
No.
Never, no.
I wouldn't even be like five yards away from me. Uh-huh. I'd be shitting myself.
How is McCoist as a manager?
He was great for me. I remember, obviously, at the time they were kind of struggling, everything was kind of starting to get kind of documented that Rangers were in a bit of trouble, and he'd kind of pulled me and said, listen, that's when you're going to play, it's nothing to do with any of the off the field stuff, you've been good in training and you deserve your chance. And it made me feel like,
that's brilliant,
it wasn't nothing to do with anything,
the situation,
which, looking back at it, it probably was a big factor, at the fact that they were obviously trying to promote the younger players who are potentially an asset to the club. But he was excellent in terms of, see, with young kids, and like you say, that wee bit of banter and stuff at training, he'd join in and he'd give you wee one-liners and stuff. He just made you feel at ease.
So when did you know you were making your debut, the day before?
I think on the day, actually, because we played Hearts at Ibrox when Ian Black scored that reverse into the side net, kind of chipped the goalie, and played, and it had just been out, so there was a kind of dull atmosphere about Ibrox anyway, with everything that had went out, and I'd done well.
How was it walking out first time?
Oh, like nerve wracking, eh?
Was it?
Aye.
Was your dad that there?
So they'd be all there. Aye, just one of the ones that you're going out thinking you've played a resi game or a 19s game. There's no atmosphere, and you're thinking like, this is brilliant. And then you go out there, and it's like, Jesus, this is mad. And then obviously, just slowly but surely, just kept plugging away and training with the first team, and then they start kind of recognising that, oh, like, he's played and he's got a wee bit, or he's decent enough that he can be up and involved with us, and took it for there.
Did you ever get roasted when you played to the first team? Like after a game or half time for a manager?
No, never in terms of for a coach's point of view or anything. I remember we went up to Tannadice and I was at right back, and Gary Mackay Stevens tore me one.
Did he?
Aye, tore me one. And that was a learning curve. I was up there, obviously, I'm out of position, but at that time when I was kind of 90, I played everywhere, eh? I'd play striker, left wing, right back, centre mid, just anywhere I would play. And I remember going up there and a few injuries, whatever, and Mackay Stephen, I'd played kind of left wing, and he terrorised me, especially first half. And I just remember coming away for the game and people were just like, listen, don't worry about it. It's done that to establish first team players, you'll learn from it.
I think we've all went through that, but ain't we? Like a learning curve, you get roasted or. See at the time with the administration that was going on, how would guys like McCoys and the senior players, how were they around the place? Was it a weird experience?
No, really. You're still going into your work every day. It was more the unknown. That was the thing. It was every day you had some kind of administrator in or a lawyer in that was having meetings upstairs. So you're trying to go about your daily business by training and going and doing your rehab or whatever you're doing. If you're injured, and then it'd be like, right, there's a meeting at 1 o'clock, you're upstairs, and it's one of the ones that you were kind of, right, what's happening? Slaney, do you know what's happening here? Try to kind of find out any information. So you're relying on the older lads to tell you, but they're not going to tell young kids what's happening.
Then you've got obviously scary,
parents and people in the background that are saying, like, if anything happened today, or I know you had administrators in, like, did anyone say anything, or nah, nothing to the younger boys or anything. So it was almost kind of just waiting to see what had kind of unfolded itself. Yeah.
See, on that, what you were saying about Val being there with the first team, did you see when you were playing first team with Motherwell, a young kid, did you have any shocking?
Aye. But, so I've had a pre-season game with Matt McGee. He brought me on, I went through and goal, missed a chance, right? And I swear, I've never had a feeling like it after the game. Went home and it absolutely destroyed me, right? So the next week, we're going into the next day, the Sunday, to train. So I'm getting the train in, and there's a paper lying on the table, right? God's honest truth. And Mark McGee, headline was, reminds me of Robbie Keane for that game.
Wow.
And it was the best, because I'd thought I was horrific. And I was still really, as far as maybe going to, it was like a depressed type feeling. See, because you're getting into the first team and you feel that this is my chance and I've let everybody down. And then the next day, on that train, and the head, that was the headline. Reminds me of Robbie Keane.
Wow.
It's incredible, isn't it, though? Just sitting, I don't know who bought the paper, but it was unbelievable. Unless my dad's left it there or something, but it was fucking unbelievable.
Did that drink his ass with, didn't
it? Yeah, aye, so, it's, but I think it, that when you, at first team, it is so, I feel, and maybe at the time you feel that this might be the only chance I get. So see, when it doesn't maybe go as well, absolutely.
Were you thinking the same?
Aye, it's like you say, it's one of the ones you probably over-criticise yourself. You've probably went up and done well or done all right, but because you're used to seeing these kind of first team players kind of doing it week in, week out, it's like, oh, miles off it compared to them.
Yeah.
And for a young kid, if you take everything kind of away from it and you look back at it from a kind of simple point of view, you're a young kid or whatever went up and played and probably done really well. So you kind of, once you strip it back, you obviously overthink everything as a young lad.
Did you have a man of the match game in a Celtic game, Larry, in that?
Old Firm, aye.
So talk us through that. Who were you up against?
Wanyama, Ledley, and I'm trying to think who was on the midfield.
It was your team, but
I was part of it.
Yeah, they had a strong.
Maybe what did you watch that game in the
house? Who's for the dab, innit?
So what did you just one of the games that everything you done went right?
Aye, we again, it was strange because you're going into an Old Firm. Even when you played 19s and stuff, there was always that wee bit of needle and going into it. And I remember going in and not so much being like nervous, but just I didn't know kind of what I was feeling. I wasn't nervous. I wasn't anything. I was like, right, just go in simple first couple of minutes, do something right, and just kind of grew into the game. Eh? And obviously we were 3-0 up, and place was rocking and. Obviously finished 3-2, and I just remember looking back at the game and I'm like, I can't mind nothing, eh?
Can you not remember nothing. Any of the game there?
The only thing I can remember is walking out and Penny Arcade and that's coming on. I just remember like the grass shaking, eh? And that's the only thing I can remember for the game.
Is it the best atmosphere you've ever played in?
1,000,000%, not even anything close.
God, how much does that stand you in good stead to the rest of your career? So you can play in that, you can play in anything.
Then folk ask me all the time, even mates and stuff, oh, what was that game like? I'm like, I couldn't tell you. Just one of the things that probably passed you by so quick, and obviously you've watched back at certain highlights and whatever it's on the telly and that, and you're thinking like, I can't even remember that happening in the game.
But so did you just come on the oh sorry mate,
no you're fine. I just remember like their team at the time, so obviously like you're Wanyama and that, so they're like proper good team, and you're thinking like these guys have went on and Tottenham and played at big level, and you're thinking like that's mentally.
So did it come on the tannoy man of the match?
I got taken off, so this was about 70 something minutes I think, and got taken off, and then after obviously the place is going mad, and then one of the people for Rangers had come in and says, obviously young boy getting man of the match, but try to protect us a wee bit, don't want you going out doing the media after anything like that, so kind of bottle of champagne.
Was it all the older boys buzzing off you? They must have been buzzing off you that day.
Buzzing, I just, in terms of just buzzing in general, because we're going through a lot, like it's hard, and you've got kind of one side kind of almost laughing and making fun of kind of all the turmoil that's going on, and then you've got certain people who are trying to provide for their families and stuff as well, so kind of taking the banter aside just to get a win, and then obviously being kind of part of your first Old Firm is like, this is what it's like to play at Rangers, Jesus, like this is mental, eh?
So it must have been so hard to leave then after that.
He said there about, even, do you remember the youth games and reserve games? There was always, the feeling was unbelievable.
Two days before a youth game, you'd be like,
I wouldn't eat.
Would you go in a reserve game? Was
you got Ibrox, I think it was like 10,000 at Ibrox once.
I was in that game.
Yeah.
I remember, I said to my dad, funny story here, I said to my dad, and people ask me all the time, that, like, oh, who's the best player you've played against? I said, I watched Paddy McCourt at Ibrox in a Reds game, and he was the best player I've ever seen in like live person, eh? He was incredible.
It was me, Massimo Donati, and Paddy up against Flecky, Naismith, and another Rangers first team player, and you're thinking they three, they're players, but Paddy,
that's couldn't get near Paddy, mate. Standard,
I was, mate, it was a first team game.
Aye.
So proper, McGregor was in goals for Rangers.
Wait, was it just a reserve game?
I scored the winner. But Paddy that day, mate, was
he just like runs by every day. It's so weird.
So why were you not playing? Because you'd probably been playing the first team.
No, I think we kind of got made go and watch any games that were close, and obviously it was back when the Resi League was there, wasn't it?
Resi League,
so it was a big game, and they were expecting a few thousand and stuff at it, and we're like, oh, we'll go along and watch. So I think we trained in the morning or whatever it was, and then we went along to watch it, and it was mad. I just remember watching thinking, how good's that guy?
He was
unbelievable.
So see, again, you make your you man of the match, sorry, in the Old Firm, you must be thinking, I want to stick around here for, I want more feelings like this, playing more games like that.
I loved it, like, everything about Rangers, I was there since I was nine, so a young kid, and like I say, I used to spend time at Jimmy Bell's kit room, and just, you want to hit hand with helping lift the boots or clean the boots, and I just loved all that. So even the first team staff would be playing table tennis or whatever, I just used to sit and watch I was just obsessed with like taking everything in, and obviously things kind of unfolded that was a wee bit out of your hands as players, and I just remember that game, and then going obviously away for the summer, and I went away on holiday with the missus, and I says to my dad, I was like, listen, just kind of keep me updated anything that's happening. Went on holiday and my dad phoned me, and he would never normally phone me, and I was like, what kind of, what's going on? He was like, obviously Rangers are struggling, they're went into liquidation and stuff, they're just kind of waiting to find out what's going to be the punishment. Initially we thought it'd be, we get 12 points or whatever it was, we'll stay in the Premier League, and then it could go to Division 1 Championship, and then could go into the third division. So it was one of the ones that was like, Jesus, like, what's going on? So we came back the holiday, and I remember trying to get a hold of a couple of the first team kind of guys as well. Davy Weir was excellent in terms of my dad or whatever would pick up the phone and
he would
try and basically just kind of calm him down, saying, listen, we're speaking to X, Y or Z, whoever it was, try to get a wee bit more information. I would advise you go and speak to the PFA and just kind of look after yourself in terms of find out a wee bit of information. As a young kid, so typical, I take nothing in, it's in one ear and out the other, so people ask what's going on, I say, I don't know. So while they were waiting on the punishment, so to speak, it was one of the ones that the season was starting to go back to pre-season, everybody was going back, and I remember going to the PFA and just put what's happening here and what's happening to young boys. I've still got kind of time in my contract because I just signed a new 4-year deal. So I was like, what's going to happen here? Like, does that get cancelled or what? And I remember them just saying, listen, we'll see how it goes just now in terms of reject going over to the Rangers new quote at the time, until we get a bit more clarification. Like you say, we don't know if we're going to be SPL, Championship, Third Division, scrapped altogether. Yeah. What's going to happen? So we'll do that, buy us a bit of time, and just until we find out a bit more information, and they'd never go back to me.
That's crazy, eh? Just so then Ali McCoist comes to you and says about Sheffield Wednesday.
So that's what I'm saying. I've never, since Rangers done an interview, done anything in terms of spoke about it, and people always ask and say, oh, these guys left. Like, I had 4 years left in my contract. Rangers fan, I never wanted to leave. And I came back on holiday and spoke to the PFA just about getting a bit of advice. And since obviously we refused to transfer over, I think it was some kind of wording that for June the 1st, if you basically agree to go to the cash point and withdraw any money from this day on, you're basically effectively transferring over to the new Rangers, and everything still is as it was before, but you still didn't know kind of what division and stuff you were going to play in. So hence the reason we went to the PFA, and they told us kind of reject it as such just now, just till we find a bit more information. If everything's all right, or we think it's kind of good for you and stuff, you just go and you speak to them again and you re-sign type thing on the contract terms that you were on. And for that day, I never heard a word from Rangers.
That's mental.
Did you see the players that did leave? Did you get a lot of criticism?
Yeah. So it was mad that's.
So, but
just like, I'd obviously you get death threats. I've had police 24-hour surveillance at my mum's. From.
Fucking.
Because at the time it was no that you're first, second, or third to do it. It was, we'd spoke to them and the PFA and these guys, and it was one of these ones that, right, what do we do now? So I remember being out in local park with my mates, going doing 4-4s. Thinking that we're back to pre-season, most teams are back, so I better make sure that I'm fit and doing all my stuff in the off-season, and I never heard nothing for anyone at Rangers contacting me saying, listen, like, what's going on, we'd love you to obviously stay and whatever. So time went on, and it was one of the ones that I was like, with a day here. I'm now into late July.
Did you go back in?
I never heard anything.
So who tells you about Sheffield Wednesday?
So obviously I'd went down, David Weir was at Everton, so I had the chance to go down there. So I went down and met him and David Moyes in his office, and I met Dave Jones, who was obviously manager at Sheff Wed. They'd just been promoted for League One, and I met Davey and stuff, and he'd kind of said to me, listen, you'll be a kind of 23s player down there, but we think you're better than what we've got. We have a potential chance in maybe the next year or so developing into the first team. And I'd had a taste of first team football. I was like, not interested type thing, not him. And I went and met Dave Jones and whatever, and he's like, listen, you'll be a first team player. You'll play and I want to sign you type thing. So I was like, listen, it's now late July, coming into August. I want to get sorted.
So you never even said bye or anything to anybody now?
Nothing.
So was there a group back in pre-season with Rangers? Training?
So these guys obviously had obviously agreed to transfer over, but I don't know how many there was. I think it was some wee group of five or six or whatever it was that had went back.
Gonna get caught.
So my initial kind of thought was, let's kind of, it sounds terrible, let's reject it just now in terms of, I just want to find out what division they were, because again, Rangers could have been getting a contract, no playing on a Saturday, just picking up your wages and no looking forward to things on a Saturday. And I was always just like, what's happening? Surely we'll find out now. It's a week past, and eventually they got the punishment of being in third division. And by that point, still no one for the club, anyone for the hierarchy or anything kind of reached out and or whatever, and just said, listen, obviously, this is kind of what's going on just now, and is there any way we can work around it? And I'd have probably signed no problem, but I just wanted to find out a wee bit of clarification, because I was a young kid that information was just going in one ear and the other. You can ask me on the street, what's happening at Rangers? And I'm a Rangers player, and I'm going, I don't know.
Yeah.
They're known more in the paper than what I'm known, do you know what I mean? So it was one of the ones that I think someone, probably not so much like the staff, was there in that position as well, but definitely people higher above could have definitely done a lot more.
So I don't want to go into too much, but when did you get the definite?
So, at the time, obviously, social media was out, and it was like the eight or whatever it was, nine boys that had kind of left as such. We got, so I can't remember what it was, some wee guy had said something on Facebook or Twitter or whatever it was, and I just remember the same wee thing coming up, and then what he'd done is he posted my mum and dad's house, like address, details, a lot, posted it online, eh? So then we had to take action, but obviously nine times out of ten you just say, ah, he's just a kind of numpty and you get on with it. But then he put up everything, like address, where they live, what village, you name it, he said everything.
How was your mum?
So that was a hard thing, just like mum and my sister and stuff. I'm fine with it all, yeah. One of the ones that's part of football, you just kind of try and put it to the back burner and get on with it. But it was more so for like my mum, my gran, because we all stay in a wee local village.
Yeah.
You've been there when obviously you've done Manny Shelley's interview. It's a wee kind of community village, and you've got them people in the street saying, Reese, I've seen that. Well, police are about the estate, circling the estate and stuff, and just worried in case one of these idiots online is just takes it that step too far.
God, that's a lot for a young kid, that, isn't it?
Did other players, did that happen to them as well?
I don't know. Like I say, it's, I speak to maybe a few. And I'd like to think that I'd maybe still say all right to a couple of the guys that were there with, but it was one of the ones, it was almost just left to fend for yourself.
Do you think that made you a stronger person, stronger player as well, Reece?
I didn't know, I had to grow up.
Yeah.
So in terms of when I went down the road, 19, to kind of grow up, and I'm living there myself with my missus and stuff, it was one of the ones that like kind of grow up quick.
Yeah.
But I'd been through kind of a bit of experience there, like if you've dealt with that, you can deal with living away and that. And we'd stayed in digs and stuff, so in terms of looking after yourself, I've always been all right with that.
Who were you in digs
with? So we were in digs, Morags at the time, so it was again Danny Wilson, Scott Dury, Dukie's son.
You're a big fan of his dad, Gordon, aren't you?
Brilliant. I went to the Euros with Dury.
Did you?
Mm-hmm. He was behind me, right back, right wing.
Brilliant.
What a two. Sorry for saying that.
No.
What a two it was.
Aye, so, and I keep in contact with them, so there was, I think, six or seven of us.
What about Cal? Was Cal at Rangers at the time?
Aye, so Cal was in my age group for years, eh?
Any stories about Cal?
to be fair, I've obviously watched the podcast and stuff he's doing, some of the stories, and even when he was on at the SWGC, he was like that, eh? And he just wee silly things, eh? But he had that dry sense of humour that everybody thought he was probably arrogant and that, but he was just funny, eh?
Yeah,
he'd come on in a resi game and say, I'm going to write, he skis the ball, I'm going to get the ball and see him, he's going to press me, I'm going to nutmeg him, I'm going to chip it over his head and I'll probably score the winning goal. And just, but we all knew it was a bit of carry on, but these guys must have thought, he's a...
Who is this guy?
How did they coice with him?
Again, I think they liked him, eh?
Yeah.
Like, certain things obviously they wouldn't accept and stuff, but see about the change room, there was him, Hutz and Darren Cole, they were like three amigos, they were always kind of, if something was at fault, they were there. Table tennis, anything in terms of, Coyce loved the game of table tennis, so he'd be in and Cal would be playing, so right, Cal, get your partner, that's it, we'll meet you in 10 minutes, we're playing you, and they'd be playing, so he obviously liked the unit that with a young kid, if he didn't like him, so, but then he would just do silly things at the time. If you were to say to me now, and looking at kind of what he's doing now, excellent, but would he have done that for the player that you've seen at Rangers, you would have said no, eh?
Mm. He's done unbelievably well, hasn't he?
First player, amazing, aye.
Incredible. How was Sheffield Wednesday? Did you enjoy that?
I loved
big
it.
Club,
it's,
mate,
aye, it's
some stadium club, that mate.
I love Hillsborough.
So again, it probably helped me in terms of when I went down there at first. It was like I'd missed a lot of pre-season, so I was going in maybe a week, 2 weeks training max, and the first league game at Derby away, it was just you're thrown in. So I'd never had really time to think about things too much, and straight in and a man of the match played. So I was like,
I was a man of the match, he's probably done
it. So I was flying. And then it was just one of the ones that Tuesday comes, Saturday comes, championship was just relentless, eh?
Yeah.
So you never have time to really think or anything too much about how you played. It's next game's coming.
Yeah.
So like in the first kind of year and a half I was playing, so you love it. And then during kind of my second season, it was more playing a game on the bench, coming off the bench and stuff. So you're travelling away and be a 4, 5, 6 hour journey away down
you're
south,
and you're
back up,
me,
you don't go on, or you go on for 10 minutes and then you're back up the road and you're in one day's training and you're doing the same again. You went Watford to here and you're gone, played 20 minutes in 3 days or whatever it was. So that was hard. And then obviously the last year of my contract, Dave Jones had...
It's one of your, it's one of his favourite managers of all time.
Oh, and the training pitch, I've seen him in a few sessions, really good, isn't he?
Who's that?
Dave Jones. Tactically brilliant.
He just used to sit on his phone, eh?
Did he?
He should have sat on his phone, but yeah, he was a good man manager, eh?
Right.
See, with young boys and that, he had that old school, probably let his assistant and coach take the training. But he was up front, like spade to spade with him.
Yeah, yeah. What other managers were there at your time there?
Stuart Gray.
Like him,
one of the greats.
Stuart Gray.
Showing his phone as well.
They were phoning each other.
He was more a coach, eh? But he looked, at the time, he was just like a, I don't know, if you'd have said he's a manager, you wouldn't have taken him serious, eh?
Yeah, I remember,
like,
Stuart Gray.
You know, like one of the type about guys, like, you couldn't really take him serious.
Looks like you'd be the janitor, didn't he?
And just, it was one of them, eh? And the last year of my contract, you're not playing, and obviously he had these players that he brought in. He brought in Steve McPhail.
Oh, what a player, like, though, eh?
Good player. But again, he was 35, so he had the technical ability and stuff, so he'd went. Shea Olofinjana, that was at Wolves.
Anfield.
So, like, big powerhouse in midfield, and one of the ones I kind of knew, I said, he doesn't fancy me type thing. So, that was hard, obviously, the last year. And then it was more a case of, right, I'm not enjoying my football here, so I need to go somewhere that I'm playing.
Some big names you played with, though.
Aye, but I just kind of get that one on the phone. You need to start doing that.
Just stand on the phone.
Who was
I've had a few managers that have, you know. I've had a few managers that stand on the phone as well, mate.
Have you?
And you're thinking, who the fuck is he phoning at this time of the day?
Or he wouldn't even be out of training, eh? Just be sitting for his office, like, watching training, but aye, just be on, like, watching it and...
He's phoning Babe Station or something, aren't
he? Who was the best player you've played with down there?
I don't know, because we had, like, Mikel Antonio played for us. And if you'd have said for where he was when I was there to what he'd go on to achieve, I would have said no chance.
Really?
But
he's a bit touch tackle, wasn't he? Like,
but that he was raw, and
yeah.
What he was good at is a counter attack, 8 to 9 yards at the pitch. He was so powerful. He'd run the length of the pitch, and he was our main player, of course. But in terms of going on and earning a move to Notts Forest, and then obviously to West Ham and become a regular Premier League player, I would have said probably no. I wouldn't have thought it.
Was he a striker?
He played right wing.
Right winger, that's right. That's crazy, eh?
Mad.
Was Glenn Livens there, was he?
Aye, great guy.
Good guy,
aye,
wasn't he?
Great guy. Mr. Smoove, I called him.
He was a good guy.
Aye, he was. Everyone was effortless with me.
Stephen Bye, what a guy.
Mad.
Is he the mad? You've heard a few stories about him, is he that mad?
Aye, he's definitely that mad, aye.
What would he do?
So obviously he'd be third choice at the time. And he was just like, you know how goalies are mad, but you speak to them in the change room and I remember even sitting having a conversation in general with him and you'd think, he's not all there. Like, he's like, there's something missing with him, and try to hold a serious conversation about what you'd be up to at the weekend, and he'd say something, you'd be like, there's no way you've done that at the weekend, and he's like, aye, I did. Like, just strange.
His father-in-law, that's
in the back garden.
In the back garden,
I don't know the full ins and outs of it, but aye, that when we were.
And then, you know, buy a caravan or something and stick it in his drive because he hated his neighbour or something like that.
So it's just weird, eh?
Was there any other stories like that with him?
Again, I think he went on loan to Burton, I think, at the time. But he was just in training. He was just mad, eh? Like, one of these guys that wasn't tuned up, like. But, a nice guy, but one of the guys was just nuts, eh?
See, now you're a manager, how do you deal with this sort of person? Have you got them sort of personalities?
Luckily, I've not got any like him. But nah, that's probably been a challenging part as well, is that you get some people that probably respond well to an arm in the shoulder, and other people that need a kind of rock up the backside, and it's just trying to kind of gauge at what time do they need that, do they need that. Mm-hmm. But I said to you before at that kind of youth team game over that, I said, I try and give the players as much responsibility, because if you're going to go bigger and better than Airdrie level and that, you need to like fend for yourself. Yeah. So in terms of midweek Monday to Friday, we'll do our prep in terms of who we're playing at the weekend, this is their strengths, weaknesses, this is how we're going to play. But ultimately, as soon as they cross the white line, it's up to the players. And I like to think that, listen, if you take information on board, then you'll do all right.
What is the goals for the rest of the season? Is it, I mean, we've kind of had a, at first, say you were big on, like, we want to set standards, we want to, listen, we want to go for the league, we want to win, that was it. But kind of after we spoke to Ange when it was a wee bit like, well, we can't win the league then, so there's no point in talking about it really. But is that what would you say that to your players, we are going for this league this year?
Absolutely. So we got beaten the final last year, and we've lost one player. So if I was to sit here and say, oh, we'll make top four, you'd be sitting going,
why are we going back?
So listen, we've got more than good enough. Listen, Dunfermline that coming down, of course it'll be hard, probably tougher in terms of teams that are in the league, Queen of the South and Falkirk, obviously improved. It'll be tough, but we're building on obviously what we've done last year. I think we've gained a lot of experience for that, and for me it's just about trying to kind of put my ideas into training, into the way that we play. And what I always say, someone who watches Airdrie type thing, is like, I want a young kid to come to Airdrie, regardless whether he's really young, doesn't he play football, or he's playing for a wee football team himself, and that's how I want to play football, do you know what I mean?
That's what I was going to say, because when I looked at, if I was to think of your team last year under Ian Murray, that'd be how I'd see your team playing. So is there anything that you have changed, or has it just been a case of, this is who we are, stick to this?
A bit of both, and to be fair to obviously Ian, he'd put in the groundwork, but what I always liked about Ian is he bounced off his older pros, so like say myself, Dicey, Aggie was playing at the time.
Yeah.
He would ask us questions even during the game or at half time and stuff, and like, do you think maybe an extra one in midfield would combat them or whatever it was, and we'd say like, nah, maybe no, and maybe come to like some kind of an agreement. So he put a lot of trust in us, but in terms of the way that we play, try and play a 4-3-3 as much as we can. You can adapt and do certain things, but as long as you're on the front foot, I just think, like you say, if I'm coming to watch a team, or if I know I'm going to Airdrie today, rather than saying what kind of performance are you going to get, I know exactly I'm coming, they're going to dominate the ball, they're going to be in your face, high press, like full of energy, and I say that to the boys, like, I can handle getting beat, it's not an issue, but if basics and principles stay the same, then I can never moan, eh?
How long do you see yourself keep playing?
As long as my legs will let me.
Is that right?
Nah, there might come a time that you get to that kind of stage where it's what's more important than the other. So for me just now, I think in terms of on the pitch, I can still offer a huge amount of kind of experience on that side, but there might be a time that'll be a young kid who I think a bit of time and effort into him, I can coach him to be exactly kind of what I'm wanting, and I can take a backward step.
So how do you work that then, Reece, with obviously yourself keeping fit, but also trying to coach Do you join in training one day, maybe is it Callum mm-hmm. joining the next day or?
Every day. So you, train every day.
Both joining every day?
Every day, so in terms of runs, everything. So that's one thing that I think kind of that looks example. Good on us is we do runs and listen, if I'm behind in the runs, the lads can see it. So we've got to make sure that I'm at the front of the runs. I'm setting standards, whether it be a passing drill, small-sided games, I'm aggressive or whatever it is. And boys know that, listen, if he's doing it, it's good enough for him, then why is it not good enough for me?
Brilliant.
What manager in your playing career have you took the most fair?
Richie Wellens. The 3 days was spectacular.
Oh, brilliant.
he's actually a good coach.
I don't know. Again, because... like Walter Smith was there when I was a young kid and see just his aura about him, like, but then there's certain elements that I don't want kids to look at me and ever be scared to come and talk to me type thing. So there's bits of kind of pros and cons to everything. I love McCoy today, but again, I was young at the time. I just loved how you could get beat at the weekend or whatever and come Monday morning, it was like you were on top of the world again.
Fresh,
like you were the best player in the world and then you go and win at the weekend and you were rubbish. So he'd bring you back down a peg or two when you needed to and he'd pick you up. But I just always try and say, listen, as long as... I don't care if somebody comes into the office and chaps my door and says, I think you're this, I think you're that. See, as long as they go away from here and think what he was saying is right in terms of he tried to help me as a player, whether I seen it at the time or no, that's kind of up to them. But as long as they go away thinking, I can't ever say he wasn't honest with me or he wasn't trying to do the best for me.
I think there's no point in you trying to act like Walter Smith or Ali McCoy because it's not you, you just be yourself.
Can I ask another question?
Of course you can, you can do it if you like.
If you had to do a five-a-side team, who you played with,
yeah,
who'd be in it? I love this one. I'd love, hope your name's in it.
No, I'll not be anywhere near this.
Five-a-side team who I played with, Stephen Davis, number one. Number one.
Is he the best?
Is he the best player in training every day, Stephen Davis?
Aye.
Every day?
I bet he is now at 38.
Right.
If whatever
just keep it. Just keep
it. You kind of get the ball for me.
Does his team always win?
Aye. Yeah.
Love that.
But in terms of like, he doesn't do anything that particularly stands out of training. But see, just in a rondo or whatever, he's never got the bib. Yeah. Never.
He's the best.
McGregor in goals again. The career. He's a joke.
Like, better than Bywater.
Aye. Mad the probably as well.
Father-in-law. So.
Again, for a five-a-side, I wouldn't be putting Mikel Antonio in it, you know what I mean?
It's not
in terms of he's no good stature and stuff.
If they're pressing you high in your fives, you can just flip it over the top to.
I don't know, probably the boys that were at Rangers. Sonny Loco was brilliant, eh?
Was he?
Oh, was he high?
He was different level.
He's probably been underrated, didn't it?
He was He was sharp. Like,
he went down South really well, didn't he? Fulham, wasn't it?
Fulham, aye. I think we had Ross. I played centre mid with Ross Barkley at Chef Wed. Eh?
Did you?
So he came on loan, young kid, and again, his career he's been on to have. Would I have thought that at the time? Probably no, but like good player, eh? And boy, Lewis Baker that's now Stoke captain. And
I remember he was at Chelsea as a kid, didn't he, Lewis Baker? That's right.
So there's been loads of probably good players that come through who maybe you forget about, but have went on to do all right. By the time you're thinking, God, I forgot that. Kind of he was there. Eh?
Dave Jones, manager, on his phone.
Aye, he's not today, but
what a five-a-side team, mate.
Absolutely amazing, mate. I realise, I think it's going to, there's a trend setting, there's going to be a lot more younger managers coming through, and I think I'll be the next one.
You get a bottle of vodka with this, do you want it or do you want to get this?
No, you can have it.
I will take it.
You can have it.
I'll need it after that performance.
After that, I'll cut your ass.
Thanks, mate. Thanks, mate.